What's good, everybody? Pete Jensen back with you here with my buddy Rob Reese talking fantasy hockey leading up to the start of the season. And of course, this is the start of our season preview series. Robbie, we look forward to it every year. Right here, we're kicking it off with free agent signings and some big goalie trades around the league. What's going on, man?
Yeah, good to be with you, Petey. Welcome back to all the listeners. We are so excited to tee up another season of fantasy hockey. In the past few weeks, Pete, dating back to the draft, we had the expansion draft, we had free agency. There were a lot of fantasy relevant movers, including goaltenders, I think was the biggest shakeup over the past month or so.
How about two of the three Vezina Trophy finalists changing teams, right? Grubauer went from the Avalanche to the Seattle Kraken expansion team. You got Marc-Andre Fleury, who won the Vezina for the first time in his illustrious career. He gets traded to Chicago for a little bit. We didn't know if he was going to report. It's kind of a weird situation, but now they got the picture of him donning the jersey. So Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be playing for the Chicago Blackhawks, who also added Seth Jones this offseason. So really kind of like a reincarnation of that team. Like, and it still has Kane and Taves. Hopefully Taves will be healthy. So that's really exciting. But then there's also a big one. The replacement for Grubauer in Colorado may be the one that we like the most, right, Robbie, with Darcy Kemper going from the desert to the Avalanche. And that's a skyrocket in fantasy value.
Yeah, all three of those moves were interesting, Pete, but let's start with Marc-Andre Fleury, who, yeah, it was unclear whether he was going to go there. Now it looks like he's for sure playing for the Blackhawks this season. And I think this one, you know, you have to go back and look at the perspective. When Marc-Andre Fleury was drafted by the Vegas Golden Knights in the expansion draft, everyone was kind of down on the team. You know, he wasn't the most attractive name in fantasy. He went out there in 2017-18, their inaugural season, and posted a 927 save percentage. I mean, absolutely tremendous from a fantasy lens. Four shutouts that year too. And that defense, when you look at the Golden Knights at that time, really wasn't that special. It was kind of a pedestrian crew. They overachieved a little bit, sure, but they still returned results. So Marc-Andre Fleury now playing on a Chicago Blackhawks team that, yes, is on the downtrend overall. They actually have some short-term appeal now after bringing in Seth Jones as well. So I like their blue line. I think they are a better group front to back than that Vegas expansion team that Fleury played on. Now, what realistically can we expect for Marc-Andre Fleury? He's up there in his career. He's a veteran. This is probably going to be a little bit of a timeshare now with Kevin Lankinen, who performed really well last season. So I still like this for Fleury, Pete. I wouldn't go out there and draft him among the five best goalies just because of Lankinen. But I think it's worth noting that if you're looking for a goalie in fantasy that can get you quality starts probably once or twice a week, I think Marc-Andre Fleury is your guy.
Right. And his whole body of work in Vegas, I mean, especially for a guy that was always linked to Crosby and Malkin earlier in his career and how he was a beneficiary of those guys. I mean, his body of work in Vegas was outstanding. I mentioned the Vezina. Since joining them in 2017, third in the NHL in wins behind Vasilevsky and Hellebuck. So that's elite company, and leads the entire NHL in shutouts over the span. So 23 over four seasons. So even in the later stages of career, can certainly stand on his head. We know that the defense in Chicago is not great. It may be not even very good. Gets a little better with Seth Jones, but outside of that, definitely some concerns with that group. That said, goalie-wise, it's definitely a fringe top 10 fantasy goalie tandem with Fleury and Lankinen, who's one of the better young goalies in the league, was part of that amazing crop of rookies last year. And started the season really hot. Remember, without Taves, without Doc, they had them in contention for the playoffs like three quarters into the season. I know it was a short one, but we definitely like the appeal, at least for this upcoming season. Like down the road, sure, the Seth Jones deal might not look too good, and Fleury's in a contract year this year. So beyond this year, we don't really know, but we do know the Blackhawks are back and they're going to put up offense like they have been. And now they have two good goalies to back them up.
I think this move really does help Kirby Doc in a way because of the mentorship angle you will have from Fleury. But then also when you consider the roles of this team, I think it's realistic that you can stack Chicago Blackhawks players in fantasy. Now I'm looking at Patrick Kane. If you have that late first round pick, certainly pick him up at right wing. Do not hesitate to put the trigger or pull the trigger there on a player like that. But then also maybe outside the top 100, now you can get Doc, who I think is going to have a breakout season. So don't be surprised to see that little trickle down effect expect from a player like Marc-Andre Fleury, who's going to be stopping pucks in net for Chicago. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about Grubauer here before we get to my favorite move in Kemper. I like Grubauer. I like that Seattle kind of swung for the fences with something this offseason, but I just don't have too much faith that he's going to be a high volume, high peripherals type player. I think he's going to get the workload, Pete, but I just don't think you're going to get that value as we saw with him from the Colorado Avalanche.
Right. I agree. We have him outside the top 10 fantasy goalies. And if you're wondering how we have these guys ranked, we'll run through the guys now that have changed teams, but you could find the list of goalies, defensemen, forwards, all on nhl.com/fantasy, in addition to the top 250 and top 10 rookies. So we got it all covered, even though it's only the middle of August here, and we'll have a lot more coming with sleeper lists and all kinds of things like that, and different episodes devoted to those lists, and a mock draft coming on the horizon. So we're excited about that as well. But yeah, so we got Grubauer at 11 among goalies, leading the list, of course, Vasilevsky, then Robin Lehner, who I think gets a little bump from Fleury leaving. I wanted to mention that. Kemper, number three. We got Fleury, number seven. Freddie Anderson, number eight, another significant goalie move. But then Grubauer, 11. So you see, like, we even have Grubauer ranked behind Freddie Anderson, because at least we know the skater group is loaded in Carolina, even after losing Dougie Hamilton. But like Grubauer, we have some concerns about the roster. Who's their 1C going to be? Is it going to be Jared McCann? Is it going to be Alexander Wenberg? That, I don't love that. I love when Yanni Gourde comes back, but that might be a month or two into the season, right, Robbie? So, I mean, I think Grubauer is going from an embarrassment of riches, of course, in a good way, to a team that has some clear roster holes in the Kraken.
Well, and think about being actually in the draft room for fantasy. Philip Grubauer's name is going to be high up on the projections list in a format like Yahoo because he played so well last season. It happens every year. And the team that's drafting on auto draft, the one person that, you know, misses the actual draft, they're going to be taking Grubauer, you know, 40 overall because how good he did last season. It doesn't matter now what team he's on. He's going to be triggered around 35 to 40 anyway.
That's me. That's going to be me on the auto draft. And with Grubauer, I'm surprised he went to Seattle because he had everything going with Colorado. His health is always a question mark. And as Pete and you guys, everyone knows, the question mark just around the team. You'd want to know what you're going to get from that Seattle Kraken team before you go take a goalie so high up in the draft. No?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wanted to mention, like, about Vegas. I mean, we all think about how that first year they had Fleury. They did, you know, they went to the Cup final. Remember that roster was not very good on paper, though, when you first saw it. Of course, like, William Karlsson scored 40 plus goals, which nobody really saw coming. But the roster itself didn't wow you in the offseason leading up to it. I think the key thing about Seattle, if you are going to invest in Grubauer, is that they're playing in probably the weakest division in the entire NHL. Outside of Vegas, Seattle is in that mix with Edmonton and Calgary and the LA Kings, right? And, you know, some of these other teams that are not very good. Vancouver Canucks got better, I think, in the offseason. They will be in that playoff discussion as well. But, I mean, nobody's jumping out at you past Vegas. So there are spots up for grabs. So if some crazy stuff happens, they get Gourde back healthy and kind of remain competitive while he's out, you know, you could be looking at them making a push for the playoffs. I mean, I don't see this team going to the Cup final like Vegas said. I'll say that with some conviction. I'm sure you'll agree, Robbie, but could they make the playoffs? I wouldn't be surprised. Certainly wouldn't be shocked, but I wouldn't even be surprised if they made it in that weak division.
I think it comes down to how much time Yanni Gourde's going to miss. I mean, is your 1C projected going into the season? If that surgery recovery extends into early December, I think they're going to get off to a real shaky start, even in a tough division. But let's look at that division. I think it's a great point. I think teams like LA are headed in the right direction big time. I mean, that is a team that can go from last to first, and no one would be shocked by it if their prospects come to play this year, Pete. Anaheim, you have to throw them into the same conversation. It's a more boring situation for them, but they also have guys like Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale, who I think have some of the most swagger among the entire prospect field in the NHL. So don't be surprised there. Another last to first type team. Now, why is Grubauer on my personal do not draft list? I don't think Seattle is as bad as the Twitter naysayers are saying it is. I think the roster has some intrigue. I think their defense can help the goalies this year, Grubauer and Driedger, but I just don't see this coming out in any direction where they don't have a big time goal scorer. I mean, Jordan Eberle is the guy that's probably going to lead them with what, 25, 30 goals. I don't see this being a William Karlsson 40 goal scenario for any one of those players, Petey. If they had gone out and drafted a Vlad Tarasenko, who was rumored to be 100% healthy coming into this season, my tune would be entirely different, but you got to put pucks in the net. Okay. And for an expansion team that has some concerns offensively, I just don't like this. You know, now that Grubauer was so used to playing behind Nate McKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Gabe Landeskog, Cale Makar, the list goes on and on there, right? So I'm going to fade Grubauer this year. I'm rooting for Seattle on a personal interest. I love the expansion storylines, Petey, but I am not drafting these guys unless one falls into my lap in the last round.
I was just going to say, late rounds, and would I take a chance on Jordan Eberle as a sleeper or Vince Dunn as a sleeper? Yes, I would. Maybe would be a little less inclined to draft Jaden Schwartz, who also joined Grubauer on July 28th, signing with the Kraken, to, I think, give them a little bit renewed interest. I know they're a new team, but like the week before they drafted their team and it was like a little underwhelming in terms of the center depth and the defense. I think the goalie tandem got a little stronger with Grubauer, but you know, I don't know how far that goalie tandem can carry that new roster. So it'll be interesting to see. I do think Eberle can kind of get out of the defensive structure of Trotz's system and be the leading scorer on that team and put up some juicy fantasy numbers like he did earlier in his career with Edmonton, but probably not going to be as good as he was in Edmonton, where he was still playing with some high quality offensive players. I mean, Jaden Schwartz is good when he's healthy, but he has not been healthy right the past couple of years. And you know, I think the stat was like in the six seasons in St. Louis that he had played 62 plus games, he had at least 55 points in five of those six. So he is a very productive player, but one of many guys moving teams this offseason that brings some injury concerns.
What about Kemper?
I love it.
I'm just going to go out here and say you've got to reach for this player. Let's look at 2018-19, fellas. Okay, this is an Arizona Coyotes team. Let's lay it out full circle here. Their leading scorer that year was Clayton Keller with 47 points in 82 games. That's a disaster. Look at Darcy Kemper's stat line that year, coincidentally. He started 55 games with a .925 save percentage and five shutouts on a team that had absolutely no help, absolutely zero fantasy appeal there, Petey. So transfer that. You're looking at 50, 55 games out of Kemper with Francois backing him up. This is an absolute slam dunk of a move by the Avalanche. Very shrewd and a little bit brash, probably on behalf of their management after Grubauer was so good for them. But that's what you got to do. It's business. It's doggy dog out there. And I think Kemper has a much higher ceiling, Pete, than Grubauer did, to be honest. You got to keep in mind, Grubauer came from the Washington Capitals, had a pretty easy ride there, goes to Colorado, has a really easy ride there. Now Darcy Kemper comes in, who I think has more elite goaltending skill than Grubauer. This could be huge in fantasy.
I'll take the words of one of my Twitter followers reacting off this move. He said now Kemper is going to have a bunch of Ferraris in front of him, you know, just scoring the puck, and he's going to have an easier workload than he's ever had during his days with the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, the defenses there were okay. The structure was okay. It wasn't what Colorado is going to offer him in the regular season. Can he stay healthy? That's the big question, but few goalies in the entire league have been better than Kemper over the past three or four seasons. And that is for a franchise in Arizona that didn't always provide him with the best supporting cast, because it's a difficult thing to do. But I mean, now he's going to have McKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog's coming back. So Kadri is going to be back. You know, he wasn't playing that second series in the playoffs, but they didn't trade Kadri, and Burakovsky's there, and Samuel Girard and Cale Makar. I mean, these guys can race. So It's going to be really fun to watch Kemper. If he stays healthy, I think he's a slam dunk top five goalie in fantasy. And we actually have him top 25 overall. So if you look at some of the other names on this list, it's like crazy big names, obviously. But Darcy Kemper, I think, might now get the recognition that he's deserved for a few years running now as one of the better goalies in the entire league.
Well, he had a heck of a season, too, in 2019-20, started 29 games, had a .928 save percentage. He just didn't have the volume, and I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
There is injury concern, but in fantasy, we all know if you're a veteran in fantasy, you have to take big risks for big rewards, and I think overlooking the injury concerns for Kemper is one of those risks that you're going to have to take. There's no safer team in the National Hockey League, whether you're talking fantasy, whether you're talking point totals, whether you're talking Stanley Cup favorites, than the Colorado Avalanche. And Darcy Kemper is the biggest beneficiary of their offseason. It's just so easy for him to go to a situation from Arizona, which was pretty abysmal, to now Colorado, where everything just flows so seamlessly. There's absolutely no concerns about that team whatsoever. Even with injuries, they withstood them last year. Guys stepped up, right? It's actually been the past few years now that they've had the injury bug. So I think you got to overlook that from a Kemper's perspective, Pete. I have him as a top three goaltender in fantasy, and I think he could finish number one if he does stay healthy.
Right. He could win the Vezina, and he can, if things align right for Colorado, I mean, they will certainly have a chance to avenge these past couple of second round losses and get over the hump this year. That's why a lot of books have them as the favorite for this season, despite Tampa Bay being, back-to-back Stanley Cup champion. As for Kemper's like individual fantasy value, I think it's one of the biggest boosts that you'll ever see, Robbie, right? To see a guy go this high into the top 25 overall after being outside the top 175 prior to the trade. Again, last year, the Coyotes missed the playoffs. They were still competitive, but he dealt with injury. So, you know, it's not really like he's coming to Colorado on a high in terms of his fantasy value, but this opportunity here was a great replacement, best possible replacement, I think, for Sakic. And you could make the argument that he could be just as good or better than Grubauer in the grand, you know, just all things considered, like by this time next year when we're looking back at it. So I think for Colorado, if they have a healthy Kemper, healthy Francouz, healthy Eric Johnson, Kadri in the lineup, maybe bigger roles for Bowen Byram and Newhook, I mean, that could be enough for me. What do you think, Robbie, to put them over the top?
I agree wholeheartedly. I do think there is something weird with that group. Come postseason time, you can't really put your finger on it. It's just in the water. It's hard to explain here, hard to break it down with the stats. They always seem to play pretty well, but then one of those top guys goes cold. I think you said it well with Newhook. That's a guy that could come in there, bring that youth energy, and maybe be that next kind of flashy point scorer for them. Now, when you look at fantasy, though, and when you're drafting goaltenders, I'll be honest, my personal strategy usually doesn't fall into drafting a Vasilevsky in the first round. It doesn't usually involve drafting Robin Lehner early round three, and it's probably not going to involve, you know, drafting Kemper around that range too. I'll tell you why. I think you're going to get more bang for your buck this season as we have a full 82 game schedule spaced out in the normal way with potentially an Olympic break. I think you're going to get more value from guys like Peter Mrazek, like Frederik Andersen, maybe even a Cam Talbot, UC Saros to add to that list. I'm not saying they're going to have better stat lines than Vasilevsky, Kemper, and Lehner. I'm saying I think on a week-to-week basis, Petey, you can get the value. You can get enough wins out of those kind of fringe guys, fringe top 10 guys, and to stay afloat in your week-to-week matchups. I don't think you're going to get that return on investment if you take Kemper, you know, 25 to 35 overall. I think that's putting your chips way too far on that side of the table. I love the move for the Avalanche, but I personally don't. I'm a little gun shy when it comes to drafting a goalie that high in fantasy.
I hear you. I did well in my league when I had Fleury and Leonard last year, and I drafted Leonard in the first five rounds and then Fleury a couple rounds later. I mean, obviously Vegas's tandem takes a little step back with Fleury going to Chicago. Their tandem is now Leonard and Laurent Brossoit from Winnipeg that had a .918 save percentage last year for a defense that I think is inferior to Vegas's. So take that for what it's worth. But I would say that, like, if I'm drafting Kemper or Robin Lehner in the top 25 overall, which is where we have them ranked, you definitely got to get that other guy, because I think both of those guys, Francouz for Colorado and Brossoit for Vegas, it's just strong defenses in front of them. I mean, someone will snag those guys off the waiver wire or in the late rounds of their draft if you don't get them. And then if there is an injury to Leonard, like there was last year with the concussion, or if there's an injury to Darcy Kemper, which nobody would be surprised about, at least you have that insurance and you have that exposure, almost like a team defense in fantasy football. You have that, you know, that connection, that tandem for insurance. So definitely don't grab them as a standalone. Back yourself up with getting the backup later rounds.
I just want to say, I think this year is going to be a little different than that tandem that we saw last year, just because of the schedule being normal. I want to see, I miss the big workhorse type guys. I miss that strategy in fantasy. We're getting these consistent starts. And that's why I think, you know, the Toronto Carolina kind of goalie swap, if you will, in free agency is really intriguing to me, because one of those two guys, whether it's Freddie Anderson with the Carolina Hurricanes or Peter Mrazek with the Toronto Maple Leafs, one of those guys should finish top 10 in fantasy this year. There's no reason why each one of them couldn't do it. I would put my chips on Freddie's behalf in Carolina. Now that you have Jack Campbell kind of emerging as a threat with the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I just think that you should put your chips in one of those guys' basket and then get another kind of workhorse Jordan Binnington, you know, type of guy later in rounds, and I think you'd be set.
We're getting a call from Davey Satriano, the goalie union card holder of the show, and we've gone about 20 minutes talking about goalies without any of his opinion. So he's saying we have to move off the goalies. I have one guy, though, that I would zero in on. I like Ullmark going to Boston. I think Ullmark, you know, a sneaky, again, you're not drafting him high, but I think that's a good move for Boston, too, with the question mark surrounding Rask. And Ullmark, it seems like ready for this guy to break out and take the next step. When is it going to happen? No better time than joining Boston. But too much goalie talk, boys. Where else are we going? What else are we getting into, Petey?
Well, I wanted to get to Dougie Hamilton going to the Devils, but I also wanted to talk about, tie it in with Freddie Anderson to wrap up the goalie conversation. Like, do you look at that Carolina defense a lot differently than you did last year? Because their skater group is still loaded. You know, they still got Trocheck and Aho and Jordan Staal and all the wings, Nietzsche's and, you know, Niederreiter, all these guys. And, of course, Svechnikov and Teravainen. So they're loaded up front. But the defense lost Dougie Hamilton to the Devils in free agency. And they traded Jake Bean, which was kind of a head scratcher. They traded him to Columbus. That was good. Even though Columbus, you know, lost Seth Jones, they got Adam Boqvist and Jake Bean to kind of like man down the fort a little bit and stop the bleeding a little bit. So, I mean, as far as Carolina and how it ties into the new tandem of Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta, what's your view on the state of that defense right now, Robbie?
Well, it's different, and losing a guy like Dougie Hamilton and not anteing up to keep him, I mean, that is a big blow, no matter which way you slice it and dice it in fantasy and win totals in their Stanley Cup odds. No question, everything got lowered there from that lens. Now, fantasy only, I look at this defense, and the first thing that jumps off to me, unfortunately, is Tony DeAngelo. I think you're going to see a big season for this player. If he's on that first power play, Pete, he's going to cash in. There's no different way to say it, right? So you look at that as a good opportunity for a player that needs to bounce back in multiple ways. Now, beyond that, you have guys on that blue line that are intriguing in Slavin. You have guys like Brett Pesce, who all these guys, I think you and I have both streamed in various leagues over the past few seasons, right? Now, but you're not going to go out there and put your stock into those guys, taking them, you know, in the mid rounds of a fantasy draft. You're just not, because their upside is nowhere near what Dougie Hamilton's was, right? I mean, Dougie Hamilton was a beautiful fit for that team. And now he's gone on the Devils, who are intriguing, but not where they need to be to really return value. So I look at this completely different, but I still think when you look at the goalie, Freddie Anderson, I think you're going to get value there because the defense is sound from a defensive standpoint. It's not going to be as flashy offensively, but it's going to be good. And I think they're going to play that kind of style of the Rod Brind'Amour. Let's win these tough games. Let's keep them in the game. And I think you're going to see Freddie Anderson benefit from a situation like that. I think their offense, though, Pete, does take a little bit of a downturn from this point forward.
Right. And Tony DeAngelo, you can probably get outside the top 150 overall. And that's a guy just two seasons ago was up there among the defenseman leaders in points. He was top five that year. In power play points, he was top 10 for the Rangers. And there he brought the elite exposure to Zibanejad and Panarin. Here he will bring elite exposure to, you know, Turbo and Aho and Svechnikov. So like, there's still a lot for him. And I like that he's just like a sneaky signing. Nobody's talking about him. You know, obviously a lot of negativity surrounding the player, but he was a very skilled player when he was on power play one for the Rangers, and he will be a big fantasy sleeper, like paying dividends for you as a steal if he's on power play one Carolina. That spot is now up for grabs. Pesci is a beast. I might consider him in late rounds for some category coverage. He'll might probably not even go drafted. People will forget about him. Slavin has not done well in the past when he's on power play one. I think he's just more of a defensive defenseman. He's not looking to join the rush like that too often. He's protecting his own end first and foremost. So don't really draft Slavin in most leagues, but Tony D will probably get power play one, and that's a pretty lucrative spot for him in fantasy.
I just think now that we've had a few weeks to digest all these moves and kind of feel what teams were trying to accomplish in this offseason period, a team like the Florida Panthers sticks out to me as a team that's going for it. They want to win, and that is as clear as day now. Getting Sam Reinhart in there, who I think is going to be a tremendous fit for that team, you should absolutely invest in that team in fantasy. Reinhart would be the guy I think you're going to get good value for, and it's going to return a lot of upside. But overall, when you look at the full landscape of who did what this offseason, Florida is a team that really moved forward. Now, they didn't take one step forward. They took three steps forward, zero steps back. Okay, you look at the Carolina Hurricanes, they kind of put one foot in and then went two steps back. You know, it just doesn't really make sense. Nedeljkovic going to Detroit, why would you let him go? You know, when the price came out to be that, doesn't make any sense. So when you look at the full landscape, I love what the Florida Panthers did, right? I think you add in the Philadelphia Flyers to the conversation of kind of, what do you do it? I mean, you're bringing in Ryan Ellis, you're bringing in Rasmus Ristolainen, who you're hoping and praying is somehow this player that he was not with the Buffalo Sabres in a new situation. Claude Giroux is getting older. Jake Voracek, you swapped him for Cam Atkinson. That's a total wash. And you kind of look at it, you say, what are they doing? You know, but there's other teams and the New Jersey Devils, you know, that are making moves to better themselves in the future. And they're not afraid to go for it. And they're building the right way. Detroit, I think you can add to that same conversation of they're doing things the right way.
Well, as the roster was, we've talked about it so many times. I would have wanted to see how that series would have turned out against the Tampa Bay Lightning for Florida if Ekblad was just playing. Now they add Reinhart. They bring back all these guys like Duclair and Sam Bennett, and obviously have Spencer Knight, who has an extremely high ceiling, and still Bobrovsky there. So that's one of the better tandems in the league, top 10 for certain. I believe they were top 10 in team save percentage last year when they had Driedger, but now you replace Driedger with probably the best goalie prospect in the NHL. So all things considered, Florida has tied for the most players in our top 250 rankings with 12. And they also have 7 players in the top 100 overall, which is pretty astonishing. It includes Ekblad. It includes Huberto, who is a beast in the playoffs. I think Huberto benefits from this. I think Barkov benefits from Reinhart's addition. They'll both be playing with him on power play one. One of them or both will be playing with him at even strength at different points in the season. So, and imagine if it's like Huberto, Bennett, Reinhart. I mean, that's one of the best lines in the NHL, probably like a top 10 line in the NHL if it ends up being that. So Reinhart did big things last year, scoring 25 goals or whatever it was. He had his best season when Eichel was out of the lineup. So really came of age and took a next step. And I think Florida's just like the deepest team in the league. They even threw in Joe Thornton there at the end for some flair, but they're building something special. I think they're one of the only teams in the East that could knock off Tampa Bay when push comes to shove in a 7-game playoff series.
Yeah, and their prospect pool beyond just Spencer Knight is loaded too, with Lundell coming in, Denisenko. Owen Tippett's probably going to make a big impact for them as a two-way category guy in fantasy this year in the late rounds. Might be a good pickup or early season waiver wire. So yeah, I love what was going on there. Now, another team that kind of went for it too in a way is the Vancouver Canucks. I think people have a split perspective on this one, though, in terms of if it's working or not. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring here, saying I like this. I like these moves for Vancouver. I think Connor Garland is a very sneaky ad, Pete. Would not be shy to draft him in fantasy. And I think Oliver Ekman-Larsson is getting a lot of bad reps on Twitter for his analytics. But I think this is the Rasmus Ristolainen situation that's actually going to work out. I think Ekman-Larsson is going to have a nice resurgence for the Vancouver Canucks. I think that offense is going to benefit tremendously from his presence on the point. He's a great shot generator. He can you know, cover categories with hits when he needs to. And this is just a player. Let's not forget double digit goals, Pete. How many times, you know, with the Arizona Coyotes, who we don't need to go further down that road. We know what the situation was. It's pretty impressive. And I have to say, Jim Benning, he gets a lot of bad press, but I like that he's going for it. And I think you go for it in these stealthy kind of ways with guys like Garland, who flew under the radar, and then OEL, who just needed a change of scenery.
I'm going to be staying up a lot of late nights with the Vancouver Canucks, Connor Garland on the team. I was hoping he's going to go east so I can watch a little bit more of Connor. I love this guy. I love this player. He's always in the mix. And you're putting him with this Canucks team. He was with Arizona. The guy was generating almost all of Arizona's offense. Now surround him with some real players. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to some late nights.
They lost Edler, one of their longtime staples on defense, but added OEL. I think that's a slight improvement at least. And then they added Yaroslav Halak, who I think is better than Holtby at this stage of their careers. So that's even an upgrade. So you got Demko and Halak, kind of like a sneaky goalie tandem there. That's good for Demko, I think, to, you know, be exposed to some of these veteran guys that have played high level of playoff hockey in their careers, and, you know, just to get to work with them. And he is the clear starter. I mean, Demko is a pretty efficient goalie last year and was amazing in the playoffs the previous year. So I think they get back to that level where we're considering them as a contender for the whole thing. And also just like looking at that young core again and saying, hey, this is, you know, last year was kind of a disaster, but they get back on track here with some retooling.
Yeah. And Pettersson was hurt, right? A lot of last year. I just, Robbie, try to explain this to me real quick. You know, you've been in some management offices with the NHL. Why would you, I don't know how many years they signed Holtby for, and I don't want to, you know, harp on this, but I just don't understand it. They go sign Holtby and they keep him for 1 year and then they ship him out. I think they signed him to like a 3 or 4 year deal.
Well, that move was, I think it was an expansion draft move at the time where they wanted someone to select him, expose him. And it was also a short term, hey, come in here, mentor Demko for that one season, be the veteran guy, like a Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, cup experience, this, that, the other. But Braden Holtby, if you watch the Washington Capitals play, you know, even the regular season when they won the cup, you wanted more from Braden Holtby, right? He was tremendous in that postseason, really was a big contributor for them to win the Stanley Cup. But you saw that one coming. Now, just quickly here, I do think they're a lock for the playoffs, the Canucks. I think they're going to make some noise. Nice. But you mentioned the Pettersson thing. It's worth noting, you know, maybe this player is going to have some injury concerns throughout his career. But now Vancouver has the insulation to withstand an injury like that. They're going to have guys coming up. Nils Höglander was really good in his rookie season. You're going to have guys like Podkolzin, who's a good Calder sleeper. If you're into those future bets, look at Podkolzin there. He could get the role like Höglander did, Pete. No one projected Höglander to be a top six guy. Boom, he had that spot the entire season. So don't, you know, Podkolzin could do the same thing this year, even though they're deeper at the position. So I like that Vancouver team a lot. I think they're going in the right direction as well. But staying out there in Western Canada, you know, you look at the Edmonton Oilers, who, again, we're going to start scratching our heads here and saying, what is going on? Zach Hyman, I like the move there, gentlemen. Okay, that's one in fantasy I'll absolutely invest in. It may be rounds 8, 9, or 10. Would love to see Zach Hyman available then. I would absolutely draft him for the exposure. But look at the goaltending position there. Look at the 2-year deal for Mike Smith. When there were so many goalies, you know, flying around this offseason, you have to be a little disappointed, I think. And it's a fair statement if you're an Oilers fan.
Right. I mean, the back end of the Oilers, it's weird. Like in the regular season, it's not that bad, right? Smith was good last year. The previous year, I think they were like first on the power play, first on the penalty kill, first year under Tippett. Last year, they were top 10 in team save percentage, which is inexplicable because then it went, you know, south in the playoffs, just like it did the previous year. I mean, Mike Smith, I don't think he's won a playoff game the past two postseasons combined. So it's, you know, it's kind of disappointing for the ceiling of the Oilers. You want to see McDavid and Draisaitl competing for the cup. I don't know that they're going to do that with the rest of this roster. They have so much money tied up to those two players and Darnell Nurse now and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You kind of wanted to see a new wrinkle. So far, the only new wrinkle is Zach Hyman, who could actually put up some monster fantasy numbers because he covers hits. He scores goals well at 5-on-5. He's a good point producer at 5-on-5. Of course, yeah, first few years of his career, he was always with Matthews or Tavares at all times. Now he's probably going to be with McDavid and Draisaitl at all times. So maybe we'll take a little step higher. I did see 5-on-5 goals per 60. He was like right there with Mitch Marner and William Nylander over the past three seasons. So that's really encouraging. I mean, I think we all view those two other guys in a higher regard than Hyman. So maybe the Oilers get some value here. I would draft Hyman anytime outside, you know, the top 110 overall. I would target him like outside the top 100 before the top 120, just because he'll bring you some good category coverage. It's a good signing for Edmonton, but it's not nearly enough to get them into the cup conversation.
Of all the GMs, I think Kenny Holland took the biggest beating of them all during this free agency period between the Duncan Keith trade, which is, he's a great player. Yeah. But he took a beating on that. Well, yeah, was a great player. You're right. And then I can't even believe it. Mike Smith. I mean, I thought he was done and he gets 2 years again. So he took a beating, Kenny, and Kenny is one of the great all time general managers, you know, but he has to answer some of these questions as to what he's doing in Edmonton. And we all have them, right, Robbie? I mean, they're clear as day. There are a lot of question marks.
And this should be in fantasy. You shouldn't have any questions about the team that has two of the top five fantasy players, period. You shouldn't have question marks, but unfortunately you do. Again, this does not affect the Leon Draisaitl of the Connor McDavid stock watch. Not at all. Okay. If you're in the one or two hole in a fantasy draft, you should be taking one of those two guys. No question. But beyond that, I have concerns. And I do, before we wrap up, I didn't think we touched too much on the Dougie Hamilton, Seth Jones, first year impact. These are two high profile defenseman names. We have them next to each other in the rankings, Petey. Okay. We have Dougie Hamilton at 9. We have Seth Jones at 10. Do you have a feeling which way you're leaning? Who's going to finish higher in fantasy this year?
I do think that Seth Jones is going to score more points. I think that the exposure to Kane, DeBrincat, like we didn't even really mention DeBrincat, but DeBrincat right now is a top 40 overall fantasy player because of his goal scoring ceiling. He scored 40 plus before. He had a great season last year, regardless of line mates. And I just think, like, also, you know, Kubalik, like there's just so many guys on that Chicago team. And then, yeah, if you get a healthy Doc, a healthy Jonathan Toews, it takes it to another level. So you could see Seth Jones maybe having a bad plus minus, but finishing like somewhere like, you know, top 5 or 10 in the league in defenseman scoring. So I think Dougie Hamilton's like similar to Grubauer. He's like going to a worse team. He could lead them in scoring. Either him or Jack Hughes, I would expect to lead the Devils in scoring. There's a ripple effect without question on players like Jack Hughes, who we moved into the top 100 overall after the Hamilton signing. Mackenzie Blackwood gets a boost. Ty Smith could play on the same pair as Dougie Hamilton, so he could get a boost, even if he's not on power play one. But in terms of the individual's fantasy value, I like the 1 year fantasy value of Seth Jones more than Dougie Hamilton for this upcoming season.
I think that's fair, and it's probably accurate in a sense of just the security you have with Patrick Kane, the security you have with DeBrincat, you have with Toews, who's expected to come back and play this year, and just that kind of, you know, one or two more shots at this thing, a la the Pittsburgh Penguins, a la the Caps, you know, kind of trying to hang on there in the same light. So I do like that. Now for New Jersey, I think it's fair to say, though, the Metropolitan Division, which is going back to normal this season, going back to what it used to be, New Jersey is doing things the right way. And I think they are an intriguing bunch. And I think that they needed that guy, Pete, that you kind of thought they were getting with Subban. You just weren't getting that. Now you're actually going to get it with a player like Dougie Hamilton, who's just entering the best years of his career, in my opinion. He got the big money that he wholeheartedly deserves. And now I think you see, you know, Jack Hughes being much safer to draft in fantasy around 100 overall. I think you have guys like Sharon Govich, who's an intriguing late round pick. Nico Hischier, who has had some injury troubles, but if he's healthy for a full season, you know, don't be surprised if you see him put up 65-ish points this year, right? So that could be huge for the New Jersey Devils. But then when you look at the Metro, you have those two top teams, the Penguins and the Caps, kind of treading water, trying to stay afloat. Meanwhile, New Jersey is going to be knocking at the door. Meanwhile, the New York Rangers, who, and it's not going to be fantasy relevant. I wasn't really sure what they were doing the past few weeks either, but regardless, they're going to be right in there with Zibanejad, Panarin, Shesterkin and co, and Adam Fox, right? So you're kind of seeing this changing of the guard happening full time here. And I think New Jersey deserves a lot of credit to be that maybe wild card team as soon as the season.
Right. So the Rangers traded away Buchnevich, but now that opens the door for all those guys to be fantasy sleepers or bounce back, whether it's Kako or Lafreniere or Kravtsov playing right wing on the top line. with Zibanejad or second line because Blackwell's gone too. He went to Seattle. So these spots are there for grabs. Power play one spot with Adam Fox and Panarin and Zibanejad. And also, yeah, Gerard Gallant. We talked about it earlier in the offseason. I would be shocked if the Rangers missed the playoffs this year under Gerard Gallant based on his track record, especially early on in his tenure with Florida, his tenure with Vegas, the system he plays, the toughness he brings. So, and they locked up Shesterkin as well. So the Rangers are doing it the right way, and they added Gaudreau and Reeves for some grit and some toughness. So that's definitely something they needed. So I think I'm high on the Rangers to make the playoffs. The Devils would need Nico Hischier to be healthy for close to the full season to scratch the surface of playoff contention. So therefore it is possible. I think Blackwood is actually one of the better young goalies. He's still really young. So, and he's been good for a few years now, even though the team around him has been a wreck at times, but definitely trending in the right direction. Blackwood's one of the guys, Robbie Wright, that benefits as a teammate. Some other teammates or guy, old teammates that benefit that I jotted down. I mentioned Robin Leonard, of course, Jack Hughes and Blackwood. Thatcher Demko benefits from those couple of additions. One guy that I like as a beneficiary, Cal Peterson for the LA Kings. I'm totally in agreement with you that I expect that team to make the playoffs in that weak Pacific division. They added Edler. They added Philip Deneau, who's one of the better two-way centers in the game. They also added Victor Arvidsson. So that will benefit, I think, Cal Peterson, who's been pushing Jonathan Quick for a few years now. He should be the starter over Quick at this stage of the game. And it's just a guy that I would consider. You could probably get Cal Peterson really late in fantasy drafts. And any other sneaky signings that you're loving out here before we wrap? I know there was like Mike Hoffman went to Montreal. Brandon Saad went to the Blues. Ryan Suter went to Dallas, where they got a logjam at goalies, but a really solid defense. Right, Rob?
No, I like that one for the Stars. I think Suter's a guy in the last round of a draft that you're going to draft knowing that you're not going to cut that player all season. I like to have at least one of those guys, you know, whether it's round 11, whatever it is, on my team. So I like the Suter thing. Hoffman's a good one. That's intriguing. I do think Montreal probably misses the playoffs this year. I think they come down to earth a little bit. But Hoffman, keep in mind what you're going for in fantasy, power play goals. He's an expert in that. He's going to be cashing in at the Bell Center on the hash there with them for power play goals. Now, one thing I do want to say just quickly about the New York Rangers, you're also in this position of Kaapo Kakko or Alexis Lafreniere. One of those two players it should explode this year points-wise. And I think organizationally, this paves the way for one of those guys. It's just there's no other way to say it. One of those guys is going to have a great season. It doesn't matter which one it is in fantasy. I want at least one of them. If you're not going to put the stock that you need into Zibanejad or Panarin, if you miss out on one of those guys, you certainly need to have either a Kaapo Kakko in late rounds or Alexis Lafreniere. Right now, Petey, I would personally give the edge to Lafreniere. I think we saw a little bit more out of him. But if Kakko cashes in on that power play unit in training camp in the preseason, I mean, his ceiling is just as high as Lafreniere's.
Right. You're going to have to take Panarin really high. You're going to have to take him in the first round. I think he's worthy of that mid first round for sure. Picks, you know, sixth, as high as five and up to eight. So like you're really taking him pretty high. People might reach for Zibanejad in the top 20 after losing Buchnevich. I'm a little hesitant to do that. He was also boom or bust last year. He's putting up, you know, 4, 5, 6 point games, or he's not getting you anything for 2 weeks. So it was it's just kind of like you ride the wave of Zibanejad and then you have him on your roster when he gives you those big outputs. But I think if you take either of those guys or Fox or Shesterkin, who are in the top 50 overall players, you have to also take a stab at one of those guys in the later rounds. Because like you said, one of those three, including Kravtsov, is going to bust out this year. And Kravtsov is still rookie eligible. So if you're looking for a dark, dark horse Calder candidate that nobody's talking about, Kravtsov is one of them. If the other two guys falter, right, they might give it to him.
And I think, Bob, we'll just end on this. You brought up Ullmark earlier. I think that's a really solid one by the Bruins. That's the exact stopgap that they needed there to get them through. Hopefully the Rask thing works out after the surgery and everything, but you don't know that, right? So you bring in Ullmark, who was really good with the Buffalo Sabres the past two seasons, which is really saying something. And then you have a backup potentially in Jeremy Swayman, who could be the starter there too. I don't mind having that tandem. I think Boston's that same mold as Washington, Pittsburgh, a safe team. Will they win? Probably not, in my opinion, the Stanley Cup, but you're going to get a lot of regular season value out of Allmark, and Swayman should have an impact there too. So I love that one. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, like I said, I thought that was a great signing. And if he's on the list, the draft board, if he is on the list, I'm probably going to take him and forget it. David Krejci to the Czech Republic, great player. The Red Sox, the Bruins are going to miss him, but they should be able to overcome it. I don't think they're a Stanley Cup, you know, serious contender though. What do we got, Pete? Wrap it up. Put a bow.
That's your signature, right, Bobby?
It's time. Put a bow it's time. On it, I got to go to the beach. You know, this is a vacation day for me. I'm here. I show up and hit record and try to contribute where I can, chip in when I can. But anything else before we put a bow on it and Bob Bender can go to the beach?
I mean, just to go off that Krejci thing, maybe Charlie Coyle's the guy that, you know, gets onto the second line and plays with Taylor Hall or something like that. Just like a deep, deep sleep for
Foligno too, to Boston.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely Toronto got a couple of those guys, right? Like Kasha and Richie that came from Boston. So a little bit of turnover there as those teams go back to the same division will make for some good rivalry games. But yeah, great show, guys. And we'll get some more fan questions and put together the rankings and the mock draft. I'm sure we'll have Davey on soon. We'll do the mock draft and then we'll have a separate episode coming up the next few weeks for that. So again, for Bob Bender, Rob Reese, great to be back with you guys. This is Pete Jensen. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, and we'll talk to you next time.